to the book of 1 Corinthians and find chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Tonight, after the evening service, the church will gather, this local church will gather around the Lord's table to observe what's known by many as different things, the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, or communion. Here at Calvary, we practice what's known as closed communion. That means that we observe this ordinance with only the members of this local church. And if you have questions about that, I would love to answer them. I don't want to get into that so much tonight as just the ordinance itself and what it's about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, let's pray together, and then we'll read the scriptures tonight. Father in heaven, thank you again for the opportunity together. Lord, I pray that the reality of the scriptures will sink deep down into our ears, to our hearts tonight, to remember what Christ has done for us, that we would be overwhelmed with your amazing love. And Father, that we would be moved by your love to serve you more faithfully. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth and to apply it in our lives by the power of your Spirit. Please help me, for I am nothing without you. And I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin here at verse 23, and the scripture says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This is a memorial ordinance, ordinance given to the church to carry out, to remember. And we've studied this, we've looked at it so many times. I just want to remind you of the details around it tonight. Remember, as Jesus was approaching the night that he would be betrayed, it was time for him. He got his disciples together. I told you, I am persuaded he did eat Passover with them. And then he did something that was different. He brought them together to observe Passover, looking back at how God had delivered Israel through the Passover lamb, and the blood was spilled and the blood was applied to the door. Death passed over, saving the life of the firstborn, which was a picture of Christ who would come, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus observed Passover one last time with his disciples, and then he instituted something new, what we know of as the Lord's Supper. It's also communion because it is taking together the elements of the body and blood, those things that represent the body and blood of Christ, and taking them together, being made one with Christ through those elements. They don't make us one with Christ. His body and blood, by faith in them, do, but they represent the union that we have in Christ. Is that clear? Those physical elements cannot save us. Those physical elements have no salvific properties. In other words, taking communion doesn't save you or keep you saved, but it represents what Christ has done for you. Amen. I would say it like this. We talked about baptism some this morning. Baptism, water baptism, is a physical representation of a spiritual reality. Okay? You're saved by faith alone in Christ. And when you trust in his death, burial, and resurrection, your old person dies and you're a new creature in Christ. That's by faith. And water baptism is a physical representation of that spiritual reality. The same thing is true with the Lord's Supper. The bread, that unleavened bread without leaven, representing that he is sinless, and that fruit of the vine, wine, grape juice, whatever you want to discuss there, but the point is it represents his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And so it's our faith in his death. It's in our faith in his blood that takes away our sin. That's what saves us, but those elements represent what Christ did for us. And he wants us to remember those things. He wants us to remember what he has done for us. So the very night that he was betrayed, he took those elements, and moving from Passover to what he was about to do. And I just want you to get this in your mind, brothers and sisters, that literally as he takes the bread and he gives thanks before God and then he tears it apart. He tears the bread apart and passes it around. His flesh was torn for us. The veil that separated us from God was torn, which is his flesh. And in the tearing of his flesh, we have access to God by faith. And so as he tore the blood, the bread, and then he takes the cup and he says, "This is my blood." He says, "Drink you all of it. Take it in by believing, by trusting," because within hours of this time when he was sitting down with his disciples at this supper, when within hours, that next morning, he would be nailed to the cross and the blood would flow. The blood would flow, taking away our sin. And so it's so vital that when we come to the table, we remember. It's so vital that we contemplate. And yes, I think it's hard for us to think, isn't it? Hard for us to imagine. So many of you have studied these things. You've looked in Bible study books and different things. Maybe you've seen pictures or depictions of crucifixion, and others, many of you have seen movies that try to depict what Christ went through, and the reality is we can't even begin to scratch the surface of what it was really like for Christ. Unfortunately, some of you have physically seen people who have been injured so badly that they're beyond recognition. You've seen some very traumatic things in your life, and that's what the Bible says about Jesus. That he wasn't even recognizable as a man. Why? Because Isaiah says they ripped the beard from his face. They spit in his face. They beat him with rods. They scourged him to the point that he was nearly dead from the scourging alone. They put the crown of thorns on his head and beat him more. I just want you to remember that his body was torn, his blood was shed to take away our sin. There's some important things that we learn from 1 Corinthians about observing this ordinance, about coming to the table. If you'll back up, please, to verse 17, 1 Corinthians 11:17. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." And we want to understand what was going on in the church. Now, here's my understanding from what was going on in the churches in those days. They would have something known as a love feast. The descendant of that being the Baptist potluck. What they would do is people would bring food together and they would have a feast together. And after the feast, they would have the Lord's Supper. Okay, but what was happening is that those who were rich, those who had money, would bring food, but they wouldn't share it with those who were poor and didn't have any food to bring. And so you had the church coming together, and people who had, they would just kind of get over together over here by themselves, and they would eat and drink and enjoy their feast. The people who didn't have anything, they just didn't have anything. And they were literally hungry. Not hungry like you and I get, right? Because you hadn't had a snack in 2 hours. I'm talking about hungry. And so you had people there who were eating and drinking to excess, even getting drunk at their potluck dinner. And then they would try to have the Lord's Supper. And he said, you guys must be out of your minds. Amen. He said that their actions seem like someone who despises the church of God. He's like, do you hate the church of God? What does that mean? Do you hate the assembly? Do you hate your brothers and sisters? Do you want to embarrass or shame? He says, shame them that have not. What's he saying? Do you want to embarrass the poor? Is that what you want to do? Just make it evident that they don't have anything while you sit over here rich and eating all you want? And see, the way he words this seems a little strange to us, but he says, listen, if you're going to act like that, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Like, if you're just going to be selfish and keep everything you have to yourself, you might as well just stay home to do that. And if you're going to come together in this way, in the way you're doing it, that's not when you come together for the Lord's Supper. So what's the point? We need to come together in unity with one another and in love for one another. If we don't have unity with one another in Christ, and we don't have love for one another in Christ, we're not in a position to come together for the Lord's Supper. Right? I can't see your heart, and you can't see my heart. As a pastor, you try to be wise. You try to pray. You try to make sure you have an idea. I have a responsibility to look well to the state of the flock. I'm supposed to know, but as hard as I try, there's things I'm not going to know. I don't know your heart, but you do. And do you realize how dangerous it is to come to the table with your heart not right with a brother or sister? But I've got great news for you. You can fix that right now, right where you're sitting. What is this unity? Does it mean perfection? No. I don't even know that my heart's always unified with myself. Right? Anybody else, you feel that? Melissa and I have been married for, I think, 19 years. And I love her, and I'm pretty sure she loves me. I'm still alive. And we have been made one by God. But, you know, we're not always in perfect harmony. There's not always perfect unity. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about everybody having robotic minds where we think and feel exactly the same. I'm just talking about having unity in Christ. That we have a heart that says we love Jesus and we want to honor him. Everybody with me? Okay. The next thing is love. We love one another. We care about one another. Coming together in disunity and division and greediness and selfishness, there's no time to come to the table. We need to love one another and put each other first and care for one another. He says at the end of of this passage, we're looking down at verses 33 and 34. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. In other words, he says, you need to do your love feast completely different. You've made a mess out of that. But don't even have that as a part of coming to the Lord's table. That's not what you're trying to do. This isn't a love feast. There's only two elements in the Lord's Supper. And so you don't need to have your casserole dish. Leave that at home when it's time for the Lord's Supper. All right. So there's seeking unity and loving one another. The second thing is that it's about remembrance and representation. We read verses 23 through 26. Remember his body that was broken for you. Jesus gave thanks. And then he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Verse 24, this do in remembrance of me. This is not an event, a ceremony that's going to save you or give you justification before God. It is simply to remember what Christ has done, his body. Verse 25, he, in the same way, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And we know from the other accounts, Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I shed my blood. I'm going to shed my blood. So they still at this time, that night, didn't have any idea what was going to happen. They didn't understand. He even told them, one of you is going to betray me. And they're like, who is it? Is it me? He said, no, it's the one who dips in the sop. And when Judas dips in the sop, they still don't know who it is. They didn't understand because God was holding some things back from their understanding until it was done. But when Christ died, and when he said it is finished, and when he commended his spirit into the hands of the Father, they would look back and remember. And we should remember too. The Lord's Supper is about remembering Jesus. And we don't do it enough. How long can a believer go without remembering what Christ did for them? I'm not just talking about taking the supper, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about in your day-to-day life. How long can we go without thinking about what Christ has done for us? Days? Weeks? Months? Years? Would to God we didn't go minutes without remembering what Christ has done for us. Not only is it a remembrance, it's a representation. As I already said, just imagine Jesus taking and tearing that bread, and then imagine being there to see his body torn. Imagine being there and taking and drinking that cup, and you don't really know what's going on, but then later seeing his blood. His blood flowing. When they brought him out and they had the robe on him and the crown of thorns on his head and they mocked him, seeing the blood flow. When they compelled him to carry his cross and he was so weakened by the loss of blood that the blood would flow where he walked. Imagine when they nailed him to the cross and they hoisted up and for everyone to see the blood flowing freely down the cross. Imagine what those disciples might have thought as they remembered his words, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Remember the representation, what it means, what it shows, what it proclaims, what it declares about the Lord's death, and do it until he returns. I just want to remind you that he died, but he is risen, and he is coming again. Verse 27, the first thing I want you to remember tonight is that we need to have unity and love. The second thing is that we need to remember and represent his death. The third thing is this, simply examine yourself. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When I was growing up in church, and I remember after I was saved and baptized, our church would observe the Lord's Supper, and I remember the pastor reading these, and I remember feeling very unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I didn't understand. I thought the passage was saying, don't eat or drink unworthy. Like, if you're not worthy, don't eat or drink. And I thought, I'm not worthy. And the reality is none of us are worthy. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say whether you're worthy or not. It says unworthily. What it means is don't come to the table in an unworthy manner to the occasion. What does that mean? I'm saying don't come irreverently. Don't come being a glutton and a drunkard. Don't come in an attitude that shows any less than the utmost respect for what you're doing. Get your heart right with Jesus. None of us are worthy. He says if you don't examine yourself and get your heart right when you come and you don't come in a right manner, you're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. I do want you to know this word damnation is krima. It has to do with law and judgment. This is condemnation now. This is not anathema, eternal judgment. Okay? It doesn't mean that if you're saved and you come with a wrong heart to the Lord's Supper that you're going to end up in hell. That's not what it's saying. Everybody with me? That's good news, isn't it? This is a earthly judgment, not an eternal judgment, and that's good news, but we see the evidence of it, and it's still very serious because verse 30 says, for this cause, because many at the church of Corinth were coming in a wrong manner, they were coming irreverently, they were coming in an unworthy manner to the occasion, many of them were weak and sickly, and many of them were asleep. What does that mean? It means they were dead. Because they were making a mockery of the Lord's Supper, because they weren't remembering and representing his body with the right reverence, some of them were weak and sick, and God had even killed some of them. So it is very serious. Doesn't mean that you're going to end up in hell, but it does mean that God is going to deal with you very seriously, because it's a serious thing. So examine yourself. Examine yourself. Test yourself. Discern yourself so that you'll eat and drink reverently in a manner that is fitting to the memorial of the death of Christ. This is really important for our culture today. Our culture has become increasingly and increasingly less reverent about anything. There's just a thing like common decency and respect. There are certain situations that some of you just, you got this sense about it, like I need to be serious and reverent right now. Some of you won't appreciate this. I don't really care. I just one of my pet peeves. See, I was raised up in a way that like when somebody plays the national anthem, you stand up, you take your hat off, put your hand over your heart. Why? Out of respect. Why? Because we worship the United States of America? No. Because we worship the flag? No. But because I was taught to remember those who died for the freedom we enjoy today. For me, when you pledge allegiance to the flag or when the national anthem plays, that is a time of memorial. See, I'm thinking about those who died so we could have the freedom we enjoy today. Okay? And yet, listen, I know some of you, whatever. That's fine. But it's one of my pet peeves. Like if I'm at the football game and people are being noisy or disrespectful or talking while that's going on, like I just want to go up and pow in the back of the head. Why? Because that's what my dad did to me. Amen. Brother Dean gave a hearty amen right there. There's just some times when you go to a funeral, when you're there to remember someone who's passed away, that's a serious occasion. That's a solemn occasion. And there's just something about us, just we kind of know, like, this is a time not to be cutting up and acting silly, like, you're serious, right? But that's, all of that's eroding. And that's okay, I suppose, to a degree, because God's probably not going to kill you if you're not reverent at the football game when the national anthem's playing. And you're probably not going to get killed by God. He's not going to strike you sick or dead at just any old funeral if you're just not reverent during that time. But this is a different time. And if you can't come with the right attitude, you better watch out. I love it. It's just very plain. Verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. What's he saying? Focus on Jesus and consider one another. The Lord's Supper is about remembering Christ. The Lord's Supper is about remembering Christ. So judge yourself, examine yourself, so the Lord doesn't have to. Sometimes my kids have bad attitudes. And sometimes when I go to my child, I don't want to start with the corporal punishment. We want to go there if we have to, but I like to avoid that when I can. I don't actually enjoy whooping my kids. As a matter of fact, I actually hate it. So sometimes when my child has a bad attitude, I go to them and I say, listen, either you fix your attitude or I will fix it for you. Everybody understand that? My kids know what that means. They understand the code behind that. Not a hard code to figure out. You fix your attitude or I'll fix it for you. And I feel like there's a parallel here to that kind of thinking. You judge yourself, the Lord says, or I'll judge you. How silly would it be for us to not examine our hearts? So what does that mean? I think it means this, brothers and sisters. If you have any unrepentant or unconfessed sin in your life right now, you need to get that right with Jesus. You need to do that whether we're taking the Lord's Supper or not. If you have a wrong heart or attitude towards anyone else in this local church or anyone outside of this local church, you need to get that right with Jesus tonight. If you're angry or bitter or envious or have any strife at all in your heart towards anyone else, if you have aught against your brother, you need to get it right tonight. Examine yourselves. Seek unity and love with one another. Remember and represent the Lord's body. Examine yourself. Examine yourself so that you can stay focused on Christ as you consider others. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and while they're coming, will you pray with me? Merciful Father, we thank you for Christ, our Savior, who gave his body for us, who shed his blood to take away our sin. Help us to remember every day. And Father, I pray that you would help us to examine our hearts. I pray that you would bring unity and love to the members here at Calvary, that we would love you above all, that we would love one another and consider one another. Lord, just examine our hearts right now. I pray your Spirit would just bring to the front of our hearts and minds anything that we have against another brother or sister. Lord, help us tonight, if our hearts aren't right, to be quick to repent and confess. Thank you for your amazing grace and your endless mercy that we can come quickly, boldly, to find grace in our time of need. And Father, truly, we need you every hour of every day. I pray your will be done in this time of invitation. Help us to respond in obedience and faith. And I pray that you'll help us to do all things in accordance to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.